All right, welcome all to the show. I have the awesome guest known as Tiffany Warren. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, thank you. Hello, Cam. Hello, listeners.
How are you?
I'm aight. Can't complain, aight. I guess.
Who the hell are we talking about today?
Uncle Prince. We're talking about Uncle Prince.
Yeah, Uncle Prince.
That's how I've always kind of thought of him, is like my uncle. Like,
your unofficial uncle.
Yeah, when I was probably about like 3. I remember because I don't have a relationship with my dad at all anymore, but he would pick me up on Saturdays when I was little. And that was one of 3 artists that he would tend to play nonstop in the car. And so I have little happy memories there. And then all growing up, my mom would usually, Saturdays were her house cleaning days. And so I'd always wake up to the smell of like pancakes and like either disco Prince or like, was it Earth, Wind and Fire?
Playing. So. Yeah. I'm the same way. I always heard the radio hits years before I heard about the whole just changing his name nonstop. Just quite the character, you know. It's like we talk about all these other people who we like, and yet their outrageous off-color behavior is kind of what also kind of makes them. And that's kind of funny, just seeing how everyone's like, you know, it doesn't matter. It is what it is. Yeah. That's kind of what... their ego is what kind of makes them, so that's okay.
I actually
they did something inappropriate. I'm not really surprised, because not like I'm trying to glamorize someone getting hurt or whatever, but I mean, it's kind of to be expected, you know, if that makes sense.
Like, right, like with the whole Marilyn Manson thing, that's something I was like, okay, look, I love the guy in high school, like I loved his music, there was some relation, you know, relatability there. But I'm not at all surprised the allegations.
Yeah, there are. No, that's a good transition, because there are some where it's just like, yeah, you know, not saying I don't care, but I kind of grew out of whoever. So it's okay that I can turn away. It's past me now. And for whatever reason, it is funny how some celebs we literally can't watch anything they're in or part of. And then there's others where it's like, yeah, no, I can watch them, but I know they're a piece of work. And
right.
I was never big on Manson, but he did have a few bangers. And so then when I'm hearing all these post Me Too stories, I'm like, yeah, that checks out. And seeing how many artists kind of separate from, I'm like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. They all parted like the Red Sea. It's like, I had nothing right. to do with him. I don't
know. No, that's so true. Sad. It is kind of like the...
I had no idea he was like that. We thought it was guys,
but I know what you mean, where it is kind of like the whole To Catch a Predator, have a seat over there. Yeah. Have a seat over there. Yeah. All the stories, especially where I heard how he got in like a heated argument with like, what was it? I think it was Sinead O'Connor or something like that. And it's just like, I would always hear about just how off color he could be and kind of paranoid. And but yeah, he was a mix of rock, pop, and R&B, and also known as his band, The Revolution. And I've heard plenty of his samples. I mean, just about everybody, if you want to, you know, name off all the hits, Raspberry Beret, Manic Monday.
Yeah.
It's interesting how he became just as big as his various movies, as well as music videos. And I mean,
the bands,
again, like you say, always created. Always in our minds. Cause I mean, like, everybody's even trying to kind of be schooled by him, you know, like obviously we got Apollonia and Vanity, and then we got people on Saturday Night Live doing parodies of them. I always thought Fred Armisen did a good one.
I think while I'm not a fan of his comedy anymore, I think my favorite was Dave Chappelle.
They came over where we was at. Prince started talking to my brother.
Hello, Eddie Murphy.
Prince, what's up?
I'm a big fan of your comedies.
Ooh, that's hot, Prince.
Would you like to come to my house and listen to some music?
Ooh, that's cool. Fruity, get the car.
Assemble your crew. I'll be outside.
We went up there. We get there, he puts the tracks on, tracks were slamming. You know what I mean? We listening to the music and everything, we grooving at the crib. They had girls over there. He had a nice environment. It was tight.
This bores me. Is anyone up for a game of basketball?
And I'm looking back at him thinking to myself, you know, what are you angry about? I mean, you know where you got that shirt from. And the damn sure wasn't the men's department. I mean, I kind of learned something that day. Don't never judge a book by its cover. This cat could ball, man.
Play ball.
He was crossing cats. Like, I crossed here. Made my knees slam together. He was getting rebounds like Charles Barkley, snatching it down.
Shoot the J. Shoot it!
Run a play. Computer blue. Darling Picky.
Ow. Ow. Prince was incredible. Prince, you got a towel, man? It's kind of hot out here, man.
Why don't you purify yourself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka? Good. In your face, Charlie Murphy. Good. Good hustle.
Yo, man, I'm not on your team.
No, that's a good contrast. Yeah.
Chappelle.
No, I get it. I can do the show, the original show, but yeah, any of his recent stand-up, I'm like, shut the hell up, dude. You're just a shithead.
But yeah,
I know what you mean. Yeah, but I mean, that was brilliant by Charlie Murphy to just try and do all the rhythm, dress up like him, and actually like just create his own like foray to where people were kind of in doubt. I was like, is that actually part of who he is in real life? I don't know. It's great. It's just being wacky. And
like, so I grew up with his music, like I said, and that's all it was to me as a kid, is just like music that made me happy, that, you know, related to some better parts of
my
childhood.
You really do want to drive real fast and just kind of party. This is
what
it is.
And then I think I probably stopped listening a little after the New Power Generation. And it, like, I didn't relate.
For those who don't know, that was post 90s. It was a jazz funk experiment, and it divided his fan base. And
it's actually, so the whole thing with him changing his name from, because he didn't own his name anymore. That was the problem.
Yeah.
The record label that he separated from, you know,
he pissed
they owned
some serious peoples off. And at the same time, it is kind of stupid. It's like, because not only do we have to forget that once you become famous, you also become, you market a brand based on your name. And it was just so weird how this is like, the record companies were being hard asses, and he was just like having to deal with all this mumbo jumbo, to where he's like, okay, fine. If you're going to be a hard ass with me, I'm going to play hard to get. I'm going to keep changing my name. I made enough money.
Yeah, as a kid, I didn't get that at all. Like, I just like, okay, your music's not fun anymore. And then
we just saw it in pop culture, because they constantly would do this whole, the artist formerly known as, and that was a play on.
Yep, the parodies. Yeah. But I think in the last few years since his passing, because when he died, it really hit me. Like, I mourned it. I still, that's why I call him Uncle Prince. It's like, I still mourn his passing. And it's like his when I've like, there's all these unauthorized documentaries that have come out, and sometimes I do a little more research just to see. It's like, okay, is this some kind of weird bias thing with rumor? But you kind of start learning a little bit more about him, and basically what's happened to him throughout his career. I mean, he did have a big ego, but that was also part of his personality. That was his protection.
I mean, I kind of honestly wouldn't want him without it, if that makes sense. I'm sorry if anyone got hurt by him mentally. And if it's physically, that's wrong. But I mean, it's just interesting how he kind of just, he wanted to be bigger than the actual scene. And it was very, in recent years, like in the late 2010s, it was interesting seeing Terrence Trent D'Arby who's another fellow artist.
Oh yeah.
He's the one of those others. Not everyone knows his name. They either know him as Sananda Matraya or Terrence Trent Howard. And he was just kind of piling on it. He's just like saying, I'm like one of the few minorities who didn't get killed by record producers, referring to the deaths of Michael Jackson, Prince, and various other ones. And I was like, oof, that is kind of depressing, because it is rumors or fact. It is just very saddening just how we're always kind of hearing all these things. Like, I'm always finding a follow-up article to how Michael Jackson actually died, and it's just like, whoa, okay. And to see this man who I don't want to say I want to believe it, but I do kind of believe that there was some kind of foul play, because it is kind of weird how he and his brother kind of owned his estate and he owned all his music, and then next thing you know, he dies, and then you're like, but and Prince is cool again, and then we're kind of forgetting about him again, and then it's like, well, what the hell?
I haven't heard conspiracy theories around Prince. That's interesting. I'd have to kind of look into that. But, yeah.
They're not as popular as, say, the Michael Jackson ones, but it is interesting how, again, you know, he had an album that he even recorded in 2010, and it didn't come out until July of 2021.
I
haven't actually heard any of those. I know it's Welcome to America is the name.
Yeah, I've been seeing the YouTube channel that's official Prince. I've been seeing them promote it, but I haven't. That's the thing. It's like, so with any artist, really, I have my phases where I just kind of stick with. It's like I'll explore the new stuff, and sometimes the new stuff catches on, but I think it's just like nostalgia that I just stay rooted in.
It's
in
totally certain portions. And he was kind of like the male Madonna in a way, where he just had no shame in being risque and embracing his mixed heritage, embracing just I'm gonna be me and I'm gonna do what I want to do. And
have you seen his very first appearance, which was on American Bandstand? Like that clip is all over YouTube. I'm not sure if you've seen it or not.
American Bandstand? No, I haven't.
Yeah. So here's the funny thing about him, and this is what I've only realized as an adult that really, like, just kind of made him more, I don't know if endearing is the right word, but basically
in everyone's mind, kind of.
as well as he knew himself and his talent, you know, there's this split. There's Prince that was the big ego, but then there's also the vulnerable and shy person. And from people who knew him all throughout his career, they said that he hated doing interviews. He hated being one-on-one. Mm-hmm. He was good on stage because he could hide behind performance. But if he had to do interviews, if he had to do meet and greet, stuff like that, it made him so uncomfortable, even after like all those years of fame. And a lot of them always talk about his loneliness, how lonely he felt. And he really thought that fame was going to help him, like, to connect with people and, you know, bring them together, because that was actually one of his hopes with his music. And he never got that. So that's one of the things that always made me really, really heartbroken about his passing, is that, you know, thinking of an overdose of fentanyl and just the chronic drug use anyway, because of the pain that he put, you know, because he really beat the hell out of his body wearing those fucking six plus inch heels on stage, doing totally all that dancing. Did.
It was,
you know,
it was very disheartening. And I think, I don't want to say we're just kind of not the most program or up to speed on this sort of thing. I think it's more just kind of, if people just don't want to understand each other and actually see why certain things just, you know, just make people uncomfortable, you got to really understand them. And it's it's disheartening, because like you say, he kind of felt like he was being pressured into it, and it's just tough to kind of remind people, hey, you know, you think this is nothing, well, it is actually something, you know.
Yeah,
if he doesn't want to do it, even though he has to, he can't do it. So I don't know what you want him to do other than, you know, get angry at him, and he gets angry back at you because you're not listening.
Right. But I actually kind of refer to him as like metaphorically as a creative spirit guy, because if I can take the healthy aspect of his ego and look at it as he really believed, he like just knowing what he started with and how he could play all the instruments, and he would do all of these like multi-level recordings, like in the late 70s, you know, he's doing all this shit himself, you know, and mm-hmm. he knew his worth. Like from the beginning, he knew his worth, and
I
always
joke. You could do it all if you really wanted to. Yeah.
So it's like I always joke whenever I get nervous, I'm like, all right, I need to bring on the Prince energy. I need to have that little like I could never be mean. Like I'm not shady, you know. I could never be mean. But as far as like, you know, having an elevated, you know, not even just knowing your worth, and that's what I say. It's like there are a few people that I think. I personally am okay with them having a big ego because they can back that shit up. And that was Prince, you know, he,
that's a good contrast. Cause without see like other people who are just trying to be like, start a flame war or a clickbait article for the hell of it. And it's kind of like, I don't know, any of these other actors who are has-beens or even any of these sports stars who people follow on whatever, just to see the crazy shit that comes out of their mouth. But in his case, yeah, he's like, he's never dishonest. So, I mean, that's kind of mano a mano. That's what you get. That's, you get both the over the top nature of him, and then you get the brilliance of his music. And so then it's like, well, it ultimately comes together. You just got to be patient.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have like favorite songs or like a favorite album or era?
Definitely Prince? 1999. And just because, you know, it is just a great jam. Like I could listen to it all day and not, I don't know so much if it's the lyrics versus the instrumentals, but like just it all comes together and you're happy for it. But like also like, the fact that was written in the 80s, you know, years before, and you're just like, how did that happen? How?
I have seen, I don't know how much of them are like jokes, how much of them are jokes, because I've seen like full pages dedicated to talking about Prince being an alien or like alternate dimensional being.
I think he'd weird out even the aliens, and that's just how cool he is. He's too cool for aliens.
But I know what you mean.
Yeah, there are many celebs who we wonder.
Yeah, it makes me think of Men in Black, actually. It's like, yeah, a cameo on there.
Who is or isn't an alien? Because aliens.
I'm sorry?
Because aliens.
Yeah, I Around the World in a Day is like my most favorite album. And I pretty much listen to and
it's
love
a good
almost
build
every
up, isn't it?
Yeah, it's what's really cool is that when you listen to it with headphones on, you can hear how he engineered the album, and it's like you're surrounded by all of these different instruments that you typically don't hear if you don't have your like earbuds or headphones. And it's a whole actual experience, and it's really cool because again, these are things I didn't recognize as a kid. I'm like, oh, this is fun, I like this song. Like I remember liking Pop Life when I was little, and I'm just singing along and bobbing my head and not even fully thinking about the lyrics until I was about 10 years old, and I was like, oh shit, this is deep. I was like, this is a he's talking about drugs, wow.
Yeah, there's definitely those where he's just like, but it happened, guys. And it's because he was left to his own devices, and I don't really know as much about his dilemma. He kind of was his own producer, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, after a while he stopped fucking with other record labels and just kept himself doing his own thing so that he could always maintain control of his mm-hmm. music and how it was released.
Oh yeah. So. And I mean, what's funny is I knew he was part of the time and everything, because similar style, and they tour together. But I didn't know that he helped Sheena Easton's career. I knew he dedicated lyrics to plenty of other people and everything, but because and I think that's why, again, on your earlier point, why we kind of just are cool with however he acts, because we also know that he did help out people when the time came. But if you weirded him out, he might go insane too, you know, because he's just like, what are you talking about, you know?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, when he would write songs for women, that was kind of his way of like little love notes. Like, hey, I'm interested. But have you heard his version of Manic Monday?
I think
he wrote Manic Monday.
Yeah.
The Bangles.
The Bangles,
he had a thing for Susanna Hoffs.
Yeah.
But it was interesting, because I just, that, and actually his version of Sex Shooter is a trip, because his version of Sex Shooter, his falsetto is so perfect. He sounds like a woman. I was like, what the hell? I was trying to listen. I was like, because he almost sounds exactly like Vanity. I was like, what? So it kind of threw me for a loop.
I think that's why we can also admire him, because like, he's fearless.
Yeah, but, there's a
I can't
remember the name of that album, but it is a posthumous release.
I'm the same way. I heard like a lot of his greatest hits, so I've never been much of an album guy. I will listen to him, but I can't remember every single one. I can remember like maybe what's on the B-side or what's the most popular song from said album. But yeah, I often get lampooned and I get shit from friends and family friends, because they're like, oh, we used to do this in college, you gotta know the name of this. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm more of a movie guy. But it is cool how I don't remember where I saw the Bengals cover of Manic Monday by him before he gave it to them to use, but yeah, he was interesting how I think I saw it on YouTube years ago. It was like I think someone took it from like a rare live show or some shit, but yeah, it was, I'll have to fact check that, but it was interesting how it was, like you say, it was, he would test everything before he knew it was just ready to launch. And yeah, it's just so cool how he really wants to just kind of be a team player on occasion. So after a while, I mean, there was this one band that did I know they did a cover of Madonna's Celebrate, and
we'll return after these messages.
Hello and welcome to Culture Shocked, the pop culture podcast brought to you by four aging millennials and our outdated opinions. Join us every Tuesday as we discuss movies, TV, games, and even music, new and old.
Dude, what do you think you're doing?
Are you seriously trying to record a promo without us right now?
Well, yeah.
Dude, you can't just do the promo by yourself. Who's gonna listen to that?
Yeah, and you probably haven't even told them that we're a pop culture podcast where we always agree on everything. For instance, the Sam Raimi trilogy easily being the best of the Spider-Man movies.
No. But I think we can all agree that Jaws is a classical masterpiece.
Nope, don't like that. But we do all agree that the sequel trilogy of Star Wars is the best in the Skywalker saga, right, guys?
That comment is so ridiculous. I don't even know where to
Anyways, that'll do it from all of us here at Culture Shock. Thanks for listening.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR. We add them to our queues. We wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide, all across the globe. We are in the US, we are in the UK, we are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan, we're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
What genre was the band?
It was a pop group, and I know Prince produced them.
Yep. Oh, okay.
I'll look it up now. Celebration. I know it's the Madonna song.
Yeah, they did a posthumous release of all of the songs that he had written for other people that were his demos performing them. And so that's how I heard his version of Manic Monday, which I enjoy musically, because it's more, I feel like it's more stripped down than the version that the Bangles put out. And then, like I said, yeah, there's the his version of Sex Shooter, just like,
yeah, it was Holiday, my bad.
Blows my mind.
What was the band? It was Holiday.
Holiday. Well, what was the band though that you were saying?
I knew it was a cover of a Madonna song, and then he produced someone else who covered that song, and I just heard it in just like every other commercial.
Huh.
Just looking now, because I know this was a thing.
Every time I think of Madonna's Holiday, I think about The Wedding Singer.
Oh, well, there you go. I'm looking it up now. Holiday cover Prince band. I knew it was covered in the 90s. I knew. I cannot be the only one who knows.
Yeah, the only group I can think of that did this Madonna cover was Like a Prayer, and it was an industrial band. That's the only thing I can think of. I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of other bands that covered Madonna, but
yeah,
that's the only thing that comes to mind for me.
I'll just look it up. Prince producing. There was a bunch of people who he launched, and I think that's, at the end of the day, imperfect and all, ego and all, I think that's why everyone ultimately likes him, because he could play a guitar and we kind of showed up the first time, but then he launches all these other people and he supervises them. And even though they're often girlfriends of his or whatever, I think it was just, they're all, he's kind of just naturally kind of freakish, you know, he like would hang out with other kinds of people who are kind of just, you know, also obsessed with sex and drugs. And I think it was just interesting. That's what sound comes off to me, just different from him. Like, at least he's in a consensual relationship, as opposed to some of these other producers who are known for their, you know, casting couches.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, he was apparently inspired by all kinds of people, including Little Richard, Carlos Santana.
James Brown.
Yep. James Brown.
And Jimi Hendrix.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jerry Lee Lewis, Mick Jagger, Ike Turner, sorry to say, but yeah, Sly Stone, and David Bowie and Earth, Wind, and Fire. And I think that's just it. Like, he kind of just, it's hard to say, he kind of just works with everybody. And I actually didn't realize that he worked with Paula Abdul and Celine Dion, but I'm not surprised either.
Huh, I did not know that.
Yeah, he apparently produced a few songs for some of their late early 90s albums, so
that's cool.
It's interesting though, because like, he comes to them and he actually tells them, I wrote this for you. So yep. I think that's what's, yep, so why everyone relates to him. They're like, well, there's no telling who he's a fan of, you know, until he lets you know.
Oh man, I think one of my other favorite things from him as a kid is the fact that he was a part of the Batman's soundtrack.
Yeah.
So like, Bat Dance, like, I love that video. One day I'm going to dress like that for Halloween, if not this year. And on top of that, Like, I listen to that song, like, religiously. I don't know what it is. It's like at least once a month or something. Like, it's just, it's, I love it. It's kind of cool because, like, in the video, when I see him there with the computers and his guitar and stuff, it almost, like, reminds me of, like, Trent Reznor. And that's the other thing. That is one thing that came out that kind of made me sad was that someone wrote an article talking to Trent Reznor about how Trent had approached Prince for a collaboration. And it looked like it was going to happen, but then Trent suggested something. I think it was that he basically wanted to record it at Nothing Studios. And because of how Prince feels about letting other people record, he basically shut him down and was like, no. And it, like, it broke his heart. And I'm like, oh, you can't hurt Trent Reznor like that. He's already been hurt enough.
Yeah. Trent's another one who we talked about many times on this show and who we respect. But at the same time, yeah, it is interesting. It does make you wonder about people who are just, you know, similar in style, you know.
Yeah.
And
I have a love of Trent too. And he was one of those ones that I attached to emotionally during my painful high school years. So it's like it's kinda awesome.
Dudette.
It's kinda awesome to see where he's at now. Like he's happier. You know, he's actually
happier. He's been able to put behind the sadness in his life. And I think it was eye opening because it made you wonder how many others have just never been able to put that behind them.
Yeah. Like he did him and Atticus did the music for Soul. And that's like one of my favorite animated films.
That and definitely it's just, a great, just altogether, just score that. I mean, it really does make you feel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Prince.
I know what you mean, though. I mean, it's good to have an artist who, even if you don't know him personally, you relate to them so much.
Yeah. It's for, like, with Trent, it gives me hope. And like I said, of course, with Prince, it makes me sad.
Yeah, I mean, he did live a good life, but I think we were still kind of sad because it was just like, okay, so what was his age?
It felt sudden to me. I think he was like mid to late 50s, early 60s, probably early
57. 60s. Yeah, so you're not far off.
It was sudden. Like, I remember seeing some of the, because he was doing a lot of stripped down acoustic type performances, live shows.
I'd be careful to have his name in the same sentence as stripped down.
Stripped down.
I know.
Stripped down. The little butt cheeks. No. but yeah, they were like these little intimate performances with not a lot of people. My cat woke up. I'm sorry.
It's all good. Hey, cat.
He's like, I want to give my opinion on Prince too. But yeah, he was doing that. And then, like, I could feel the heart in those performances. And I was really hoping that he was going to make, like, a big comeback. And then next thing you know, he's freaking found dead in an elevator. And I was like, it just felt sudden, you know?
It was just so, I mean, nothing could prep us for it, but we were still just like, what? What the hell? Yeah. But yeah, all together, I mean, you do kind of, he is another one who, because he kind of evokes all this kind of unusual social commentary too, you do kind of want to just wonder what was going inside his head, but you kind of couldn't know unless he revealed it to you, because again, like you say, he would deny interviews, so even if you were established, you just thought, yeah, you're playing tricks on me.
As I remember, a few years ago for New Year's, because I was kind of like isolated, and I was like, all right, I need to do something to like keep my spirits up. So I was just listening to this whole catalog of Prince, and my housemate, her birthday is on New Year's Eve, and so she had people over. Wow. And so I was just holed up in my room, like the little feral cat that I am, listening to Prince dancing and stuff. And so the next day, I was listening to Prince again, and I came out to get some snacks or something. And she goes, "You sure do like Prince." And I was like, I fucking love Prince. He's like a part of my childhood. he means a lot to me. And she goes, "I just don't get it." And I was like, "What?" And she goes, he was just so weird and crass, and his music just wasn't any good. And I'm just standing there with my snacks in my hand. And I'm like, why would you tell me this? I literally just told you that I love the man and I love his music and it was important to me. And you're going to tell me that, like, that's cool if you don't get it, but why are you telling me this?
Why are you telling me this? Jesus.
Yeah. So I just stood there kind of looking at her. And she goes, "Yeah, it's just like his music just didn't make sense either." And I was like, how did it not? You need to read lyrics. Like, it makes sense."
I don't think she listened to any songs.
I don't think so either. She probably heard like Little Red Corvette and maybe When Doves Cry. And she was basing it off of that,
which was beginner level, but not the actual song.
Right. And like, I think actually Little Red Corvette is probably my least favorite, but you know, it's like, it's like When Doves Cry, especially musically, it's an amazing song. So I was like, all right, you have your opinion. I'm going to go eat my snacks. I'm going to go back to being a feral cat in my room.
Speaking of my out of here.
What would you say was your introduction to Prince? Like, I know you said that you kind of like remember hearing
just constantly on the radio. I just was always hearing people talk about his different movies and what have you, and just it made sense to me when, because long story short, when you're trying to actually really dissect a person and just understand how music works and everything, and I would see constantly just people talk about his influence and everything and what he had been a part of. And I think I just, after a while, I mean, when you're listening to someone like him, you're actually trying to he kind of invites you to just follow along with him, if that makes sense. Yeah. And that's kind of the gist I got, just all his greatest hits, just on the music. I heard a good chunk of them, and then, you know, I went through it, the deep cuts and everything, and it was easy to see why most of them didn't make it, because they were just too risky to get any kind of airplay, even at midnight. So, you know, they might have played when they were first out, but that was it.
Have you seen all, like, just thinking, because there was a mention of films. Have you seen all three? I think there's three. Have you seen all three of his films?
I think there's only three. I saw part of The Graffiti Bridge, which was a sequel to Purple Rain, and then I definitely didn't see any of the other ones he did. I think he did one in France, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, there's the three ones that I know. It's, of course, it's Purple Rain, Graffiti Bridge, and Under the Cherry Moon. And Under the Cherry Moon was one of the rarer ones. Like, I don't remember ever seeing it playing on television. Yeah, or anything like that.
If it played, it was probably at midnight on Showtime or something, you know.
And it was so weird. Like, I love
but Boy. Only he could do that kind
of right. Weird. Exactly. It was definitely like, it's like Prince avant-garde. It's like a Prince art film. But I did not dig it, unfortunately. But I loved Purple Rain.
At least you can say you're a giant fan, because you went out to see it. So
yeah, but I didn't like it.
It's all good.
I was like, why, Unc? Why? but Graffiti Bridge, I thought was pretty interesting. Like, it had like, I can't say that I liked the story. Like, it was I liked it visually. Like, the aesthetic was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And I definitely liked the music that came from it. But as far as the story goes, it felt like it was kind of weak. Like, Purple Rain to me was just, it was, I don't want to say perfect, because then that sounds like I'm like talking it up too much, but it was good. You know, it was, it had a really good story to connect to.
That's good. I only saw parts of it, so I just remember Siskel and Ebert gave a very disfavorable review to it. I know my folks were not crazy about Purple Rain, but then at the same time, like, it's kind of one of those, like, while it isn't great as a story, I think people just forgave it because, like, it was stunningly shot, and, like, the director of that even did reshoots on Tango and Cash. He had the essential MTV 80s look, and I think he and Prince got along well because, like, I don't know if it was just Prince understood him, and he was a, like, Italian video producer guy for hire, and they pretty much just kept each other to their devices. And even though the acting is questionable and everything, it's just, it's kind of just an interactive music video, and because you get to hear all his music, yeah, it's kind of why you watched it back in the day, you know?
Yeah. Wait, you're talking about Graffiti Bridge, right? Or
Purple Rain.
Oh, Purple Rain? Oh, yeah. Well.
But that's okay. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a style over substance movie, and there's plenty of time for all of that, you know? Just look at The Matrix. So, I mean, it's just kind of interesting how it was also not hard to edit, you know, just cut out some of the language and romantic foreplay, and it's safe to air. But it's interesting how just for some people, that along with probably the Batman soundtrack might have been their introduction to him, versus otherwise just, you know, collecting his music over the years.
Yeah, actually, I just realized that Graffiti Bridge was directed by him, so that would explain why I felt like it was a little bit weaker.
Felt legit because it was legit him. I'm pretty sure he yelled at the cinematographer, "Get it right."
Yeah, I kind of feel like, especially from my own experiences as a filmmaker, it is hard to try and make something that's incredible when you're doing so much on the project, including acting in it.
Yeah.
I mean, there are definitely people that I think pull it off well, but I'm a little sus. Like, I'm like, did you really direct it?
Yeah.
Did you really,
I mean,
put your name on it.
There's this one cinematographer I even did a special on where he was pretty much, any actor who was misbehaving on set, he was pretty much picking up the paces. Yeah, it is interesting how altogether, I mean, I don't have any issue with him at all. I it's so rare that we can see someone who's kind of over the top, and we don't understand him, and yet at the same time we kind of understand him. If that makes sense. Like, we kind of just all together, just everyone let him be him. And I mean, it's definitely the rare example of let him be him.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually saw this thing on YouTube a few weeks ago that was, this is something, there are a lot of things I wasn't aware of, like, in pop culture around Prince, because I was a kid, you know. But they claim that there was this whole rivalry. Well, not claim. They showed moments that you realize it was a thing, but it wasn't between the two of them exactly. It was more like their record labels pushing them against each other. And, like, you know, like, I feel like the public does this kind of weird thing too, or like the press especially, where it's they'll take people that are iconic, that are in the same genre, the same field, and they'll pit them against each other. It's like, you know, you can't let them coexist. It's like they have to be one against the other. And so there's a thing with Prince and Michael Jackson, and you know, towards the end, Prince basically was talking about, like, in different little clips, he was talking about how he actually had a love for MJ. And actually, you know, he didn't really see it as a rivalry. He didn't really have, you know, any animosity against him, but it was something that people expected. And that in the beginning, especially, Michael Jackson was heavily competitive. You know, there were people that knew Michael Jackson or were around at the time where they would have these conversations where Michael would always try to one up Prince. And and Prince kind of had fun with it. Like, he thought, because he was so secure of himself.
Yeah.
You know? He's like, "Bitch, I'm Prince. I'm not threatened. This is hilarious. Let me prank you." You know?
Yeah, it was very wild.
But that was kind of fun to not like fun, but it was like funny reading about and because I watch things and then I go and I look them up to see if it's just people from their own perspective making shit up or if it's actually something that was known and you know there are a lot of accounts of it. So
I mean, altogether, he is just kind of a, now that he's a legend, it's going to be interesting just kind of seeing what future generations are like just getting into him, because like very much like Jackson, he's still very much alive in pop culture even though he has passed away. He's just kind of a special kind.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to whenever they decide they're going to do a biopic about him.
Oh, God. I'm pretty sure his brother is blocking it right now until he dies.
I'm hoping. Wait, I know he has a sister. He has a brother?
I thought he... Okay, well, let's see, check it out.
I know he has a sister, and she he wrote a song on... gosh, I can't remember which album it was. I think the song itself is called like Melody Rogers or something. But he has a song that he named a character in the song after his sister. So I thought that was kind of cute. But basically, he's talking about like this badass. Okay,
so he had a sister, but I swear he. Okay, so who did he? Prince's estate of soul to. Okay. No spouse or living children. His estate passed to his six half-siblings who could not agree on a distribution plan and frequently ended up in court. Okay, according to The Guardian. Wow.
Money always screws people
up.
Like,
much like Michael Jackson, like he came from a family that was kind of a piece of work, and so then, long story short, he could be kind of temperamental too.
Yeah. Yeah. MJ's kind of a... I'll mention him in reference to other things, but he's a little bit of a sore topic for me.
Yep. Well, okay, so Miss Warren, it's been great having you on here because you broke down just kind of the appeal of this person, which is cool.
Yeah, it's always fun to talk about my favorites. And I appreciate the opportunity to do so. It was really good chatting with you about him, Cam.
Anytime, because there's nothing worse than when it just feels like people are talking about something, but they're barely scratching the surface. So we may not have given you everything you guys want to hear, but I mean, I hope we gave you something to work with here, you know, and some kind of idea of the guy.
Definitely something to look up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see any of his fan base just like taking off. It seems like he's the perfect example of kind of like any over the top sci-fi horror actor, any wacky interview he's been in, like his fans remember and they're just not surprised. It's just kind of part of the whole system, really.
Yeah. But, Graffiti Bridge is on HBO Max, right? Meow. If anybody decides they want to watch it. Yeah. Wow. And Purple Rain was on Tubi. I don't know if it's on Tubi anymore. And Under the Cherry Moon, that's a hard one to find. And I wouldn't recommend it anyway.
I will take your recommendation.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening.
It's a Jacked Up Review Show. It's a Jacked Up Review Show. Jacked Up Review Show. It's a Jacked Up Review Show.